Welcome back. Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. Not only is it fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which, according to the Prime Minister John Key, who used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, it's good for the economy because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is, I've forgotten your name already, Eugene Sunny Irvin, is it?
That's it, Vinny. You can call me Sunny, all my friends do. And, you know, my name is, you know, technically Eugene Irvin III, and Sunny was a nickname of my father that just kind of stuck, so.
All right, so it's not because of your sunny disposition.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Vinny. What'd you say?
So it's not because of your sunny disposition.
You know, it could be. It depends on when you catch me, you know. I mean, you know, I've had to deal with quite a bit of anger in my life, to be real honest with you, due to the fact that things like this are covered up, and I've had to, you know, see it from such a keen perspective growing up. You know, I mean, you know, these guys basically killed my freaking dad when I was a kid, suppressed the technology that could have made the air that we're breathing cleaner today, you know. And so, you know, I personally released a rough schematic of a perpetual energy system that's based on the magnetic principle and a propulsion system for craft on my Facebook page, okay? And so, you know, it's really easy how it works, too. And, you know, to see, you know, obviously our infrastructure is built upon fossil fuel, and there has to be ways of implementing new types of technology when it comes to energy to not have to, you know, completely have a huge falling out in terms of our economy to sustain ourselves here. But the bottom line is every time we're pressing our foot on the gas pedal, we're making some evil guy richer, and we're furthering the tragedy environmentally in which we find ourselves in today. And so it's a major issue. You know, things are going to have to change here. There's more than enough resources on this earth to sustain ourselves. You know, I saw one of your guests the other night with the probiotic oil theory. You know, oil is infinite is what I saw the headline. I didn't really get a chance to check out that interview. But, you know, it very may well be. But regardless, you know, it's not necessary is the point. You know, cold fusion and all these other things are ridiculous. You know, you harnessing the power of gravity is ultimately what I feel is where we really need to go in terms of energy sources in the future. And, you know, it's pretty simple to generate an electric current by harnessing the power of gravity. And for your listeners, anybody who would like to try this, I'd encourage you to just go build it and go tell, you know, petition your government or whoever else it is out there to go ahead and start using it. Because it's really, here's how simple it is. It might sound a little funny, but, it, you know, it beats the hell out of a coal power plant that's polluting the hell out of our environment, or some nuclear power plant that's basically, you know, a ticking time bomb. You know, excuse the pun, but you know, we've all seen a pendulum in which, you know, you have the balls, you have the perpetual motion, you drop one, it comes down, it hits, and the other one goes back up, and it comes back down, and it keeps going until it finally runs out. All you need to generate an electric current out of that simple pendulum, imagine, you know, 8 10,000-pound balls lined up with these cables on a big, you know, apparatus that allows them to swing, a huge pendulum, if you will. And you put, you know, think of it as a pole that goes down through the center of that, in the center ball, which is able to capture that energy that turns, okay? You put a gear on a horizontal turbine, which generates electric current when it spins, that, you know, regardless of the way that the ball hits, it's going to turn that with the proper gear, okay? Go ahead and put a solar-powered hydraulic lift on the one end of the ball to pull the other ball back up every time it basically runs out of energy. And that's it. It's that simple.
So is it in some way, you know those things that really successful business people have on their desk? You know, they've got like this little string of balls, and you pull one ball off to the side, and then you let it go,
yeah.
And then one ball on the other side and it just kind of perpetually keeps going like that.
Right. I mean, you have the the variable of resistance to turn the totem there, it doesn't matter. If you can pick up those balls and let them keep falling down in a timely fashion to keep generating that current and store that current, when you're running AC, it doesn't make any real difference. That's free energy. You know, that's not the one that I initially released. You know, come to find out, you know, there's a nuclear engineer named Keshi, you know, developing the technology afterwards, you know, and, you know, I put it out there for free, you know, and that's basically, you know, what do you get? Look, you know, you have a circular magnet on a flywheel, okay, of a North Pole, and you have, you know, a stationary magnet offset to the crucial angle, which is also a North Pole, okay, what's going to happen there? It's going to turn the other magnet that's on the flywheel, puts it on a turbine. What do you get? You get electrical current for free that never stops. It's so simple, the good things in life. That one simple concept in and of itself can completely revamp the entire infrastructure upon which we have built basically a grave for ourselves on this planet. Isn't it ironic that the blood of the earth, you know, oil, is killing us every day? Wars are fought. People and children are suffering and dying. Terrible deaths because of it. And, you know, proof positive that greed is the root of all evil. Give me a freaking break. And so, you know, my dad's own technology could be incorporated into this stuff. It's very technical, and I don't have time to get into it, and I don't fully understand it, to be completely honest with you. But you could add this to an existing turbine. It's not the source in which you, you know, the Pager 500 basically has, you know, a catchment system for electromagnetic energy that is generated off of the distributor cap wires in an internal combustion engine, okay? It harnesses that energy and allows it to run back into it, and it increases the performance, reduces the emissions, blah, blah, blah. If you were to add that one simple concept to existing, you know, hydroelectric power, for example, you would have a huge performance increase in it. I mean, it's such a simple concept, and all the energy that we need is out there in the air around us. It doesn't even have to be radiant energy. You know, it doesn't matter if we don't know how gravity really works. We could just capture that free energy, that gravity right there, and generate electric current for it.
What the problem is with that is one person can't control it all.
Well, exactly. You know, and it's a very relatively small group of people who are controlling it all today, and their bloodlines that go back for ages. And when are we going to stand up and say, you know what, we're not taking it anymore, we're on to your freaking game, and we're not having it. We know you're poisonous. We know you're leading us to a slaughter.
I think that we're already doing that.
We are.
What people are waiting for, and I find this ironic, why the frack are they waiting for critical mass? You know? Why not become a part of it? Why not just say, well, frack it, if I take personal responsibility for one tiny little issue, and that's all you can do, really. I mean, think about all the different concepts and all the different things that are problem, you know, free energy, this, that, and the other, the oil companies, the vaccines, blah, 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 blah. It's too much for one person to let alone get your head around every single part of the conspiracy, but you certainly can't solve all of those problems either. You can focus on one particular thing. Just one thing. That will be your contribution to the betterment of humanity. And that's all you have to do is take responsibility for something, not everything. Because if you try to take responsibility for everything, it means you try to take responsibility for everybody. And that means nobody's got any personal responsibility, and you and any society that comes out from after you solving all of its problems will just be a bunch of morons. Who won't appreciate or be grateful for anything that happened to them because they never earned any of their freedoms. And I think that's the reason why we're in this society right now. It's because people have abdicated all their personal responsibility, and they think that in order to solve any problem, oh, I have to solve all of them, so they decide to solve none of them. And that's why we're enslaved.
Yeah, that's very true, Benny. Well said. You know, it does seem overwhelming sometimes. And to take responsibility for that one thing is a great place for anybody to start today. You know, I think that, you know, obviously when it comes to mind control, for example, I'm a firm believer that when we can illustrate physical examples of this stuff, that people are going to have to start waking up. And when we're getting an outcry from the public now with these towers on the school property, I mean, you know, when people are messing with your kids, you know, we have a tendency to get pissed off about that as a civilization and as a people. And that's why I focus on it so much. because, you know, clearly these devices are affecting everyone, and in ways in which we're not even sure how, you know. And so the bottom line, and what I found and uncovered in any of my research, is this. Anything with the wavelength has a property of manifestation, and understanding the way that they, understanding the correlative effect that these wavelengths have with one another is a relatively, you know, unexplored science by the public in general, but something that has certainly been refined and is well known to these perpetrators of this type of agenda out there who are clearly trying to kill us and all these other things, you know. And, you know, it's disgusting to think about, you know, children are suffering, having their IQ. I mean, why in the hell? Just the fluoride issue. You know, we're starting to finally see an uproar about that. You know, Toronto's had it removed. I was surprised I had it down there in New Zealand. I had no idea about that until I started tuning in. You know, this is something that clearly makes people stupid. I mean, it's not there for any other reason. It's not effective as a cavity preventative when it's ingested into the human body. I mean, this is basically the byproduct of radioactive waste. And so, you know, it's just terrible what's going on over there. And what we're going to – so here's the thing. Okay, a good example is this. You know, the CDC has the audacity to put, quote, you know, a humorous feature on their website for a zombie apocalypse preparedness kit, okay? And they think it's funny. And on that same website, you could go see the statistical numbers generated, again, from the CDC. This is on their own website, that to allot 20 years before every child in the United States of America would have autism is a very generous time to allot before that would actually take place, okay? And I say that because 1 in 25,000 children roughly 30 years ago was diagnosed with autism in this country by age 8. The ways in which we've been able to diagnose this illness, which is terrible and debilitating, have, you know, grown by leaps and bounds, and we're able to identify it better now. But even when you equate that variable into it, to say now conservatively by the CDC's own numbers that there's 1 in 88 children born in this country with autism or diagnosed with it by age 8, just do the math. You know, 30 years ago, 25,000, now it's 1 in 88. Some numbers would say 1 in 50. Give me a break. 20 years.
I don't give a frack what your statistical analysis is. There's no possibility that you could have just all of a sudden detected that many more cases. I mean, what's that, a 1,000,000% increase or some Shiite Muslim?
It's ridiculously astronomical. It's so, you know, there has to have been,
Hold on a second. 1 in 20, what'd you say, 1 in 25,000?
Yeah, 30 years ago. And so, you know, conservatively, the last figure that I looked up was 1 in 88 by age 8, okay? You know, pediatricians were, you know, fascinated.
By 88 equals 284. So that's a 284,000% increase.
People wake up to that number, okay? But here's the good news. I mean, can you imagine? Okay, there has to be something going on here. You know, pediatricians were basically fascinated by the fact of a pediatric case of cancer all the way back into the 50s, because there wasn't any prior to that that were documented. Okay, today, in this country, we've got freaking, you know, hospitals devoted to child cancer, making all this money on every corner in our urban center. Okay?
And so it's terrible. And incidentally, a bunch of those hospitals are actually funded by Freemasons, and there's also they get mired in allegations of corruption and child trafficking at the same time. So they're preying on their children. Oh, my God.
Right. Exactly. So this is the enemy that we're talking about here, and I cannot stress the importance of praying for our enemies enough, and I know it's the most difficult thing to do. I can assure you it changes the physical environment, which, and that's what I'm leading to with this, because, you know, it's not a message of fear-mongering that I'm coming with here today. It's one of hope, because the reason that we're being assaulted with all of this stuff is because there has been energetic changes that are going on in our solar system throughout our galaxy. These people were well aware of this fact, and it increases our manifested quality. And, you know, if there was ever you know, look, there are hundreds of thousands of, you know, very well-documented case studies and clinical trials of placebo groups having complete alleviation of their symptoms by taking nothing more than a sugar pill. The stimulus, you know, the catalyst of belief having an effect on the body is clearly illustrated in these trials, okay? Meanwhile, we have those new diseases coming out every 5 minutes, restless leg syndrome, and God knows what else crap they're feeding us out there. And it's all about this money, control, and, you know, it's ridiculous. And so we have the ability to overcome these things, and that's why we're under such an assault right now, because those, you know, the second coming of Christ is happening through the body of Christ right now, and we're not seeing that reflection increase to the rate in which it was. I'm seeing healthy babies being born all the time. I pray for them every day, and I would encourage everybody else to do that. And at the same time, remember, faith without works is dead. You know, we can sit here and believe all these things and hope things, and that does have an effect on the environment. But to be able to get out there and still do things in the physical is where we're at right now, and trying to kind of straddle one leg into 3D and another into up to 5D is what we need to do. And so, you know, what I'm getting at is we're not seeing that statistical fulfillment happen with this going on right now. There's, you know, and that's the biggest news out there as far as I'm concerned, because it's a testament to the triumph of the human spirit over the physical reality in which we're in. And so these guys want to take over. You know, it doesn't matter what we believe. You know, and for anybody out there in the audience, you know, go look up the work of Albert Pike, who was, you know, one of the foremost, you know, authorities in Freemasonry, okay, who wrote a book called Muslim Dogma in the 1860s, okay? And Freemasonry is intentionally misleading at the lower levels. And if you don't, if the elders don't think you're going to play ball, you'll never make it past the 32nd degree, okay, which the ceremony about that is all about balance. And balance is a very important thing to have in life. But the bottom line is, it clearly states in Muslim Dogma that Lucifer is the god of Freemasonry. These are my words. These are the words of Albert Pike, who, you know, by the way, and very importantly to mention and note, wrote about how the First and Second World War would take place. He nailed it. Okay, this is back in the 1860s. And, you know, went on to talk about how the Third World War would be, you know, taking place in the future. And I guess we'll pick up there when we come back after the break.
Indeed. Eugene Irvin is my guest, ladies and gentlemen, a.k.a. Sonny, not because of his sunny disposition. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. By the way, last week, I think just after that Monsanto protest where I led the fracker and was doing the operatic thing, my voice really, really terrible, man. And like that weekend, I was just totally wiped out and virtually wiped out for the whole week afterwards as well. And I was really behind on my archiving and editing and all of this kind of stuff. And yesterday I took the day off. So that I could finish all that archiving and everything and stop feeling like crap. So all of the new archives are up there now, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Right up the top there, it says Radio Archives, and you can get all of those there, as well as the commercial-free versions for subscribers. So if you subscribe to me, I'll send you the links to the ad-free archives pages there for as little as $1 a month, ladies and gentlemen. Some people do 20, and some people do more. But as little as a dollar a month, and we'll give you some commercial-free archives. Very, very handy little tool to have there. Saves you a lot of listening time, and also that irritating spot where you're like, oh, I don't want to listen to the ads, so you have to, you know, skip through like six times an episode. Who wants to do that? Why not just have me edit all the ads out for you and give you some money? Now, my very special guest, Eugene Sonny Irvin. And we were talking over the break, me and the producer Adam, about ecstasy, empathy, and psychopathy, right? And I always wondered, Is it possible to make a psychopath feel empathy? And I was thinking, what would a kind of drug-induced state would you have to actually impose on these type of people, creatures, whatever you think that they are, in order to actually make them feel the pain that they're doing to other people? And I recall that the original translation, the reason why it was called E, wasn't to mean ecstasy. It was actually to mean empathy. And way back in the day, when it was prescribed by doctors, it was given to violent fathers, and they sent them home to their kids. They never lay a hand on them again. And so naturally, because it was so effective at stopping the family unit breakdown and violence, they made it illegal. So imagine if you actually gave this type of a drug to a psychopath. Could you artificially induce real human empathy and make them see the consequences for their actions for once? I don't know what the answer to that is, but it'd be interesting to find out. Eugene, are you still there?
I am. Well, yeah, I'm sitting there having visions in my head of these guys, dosing too much Molly and sitting there and having a spiritual awakening. That would be brilliant.
Yeah, you can imagine what kind of a conflict it might start up within somebody if they suddenly realize, oh my God, I'm a psychotic piece of crap. What have I done to people?
Yeah, we can only hope, huh?
Yeah, I mean, here's a terrorist operation for you. This is theoretically speaking. I remember a scene from L.E.G. In the House, where there was this big UN conference thing going on, and everybody was like getting angry and out of control over this little African country conflict, and Russia and the United States were going at it and stuff like that. And so what LEG does is he spikes their tea with huge quantities of weed, and all of a sudden the conflict is called off and they start dancing. So what if you dose the entire Congress and the Senate and the White House with a decent quantity of ecstasy? You know, what would happen? Would the country suddenly be like, oh my God, we're taxing people for no reason, we're killing innocent babies, man, what are we doing? Let's stop it all, man, let's bring the troops home and stuff. Be classic. And of course, they'd have to be really wasted off their nut in order to stop doing what they're doing, wouldn't they? Because this is what they do when they're sober.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, maybe we could see, maybe we could bypass the fulfillment of what we were discussing before the break, in that, you know, the Third World War was laid out by this guy, Albert Pike, in 1860, I forget, 67 or whatever. That, you know, the plan that they were going to try to execute was to turn the Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians all against one another, have them basically do themselves in, and then usher in their, you know, one world system, which is ultimately at the core Luciferianism. I mean, you know, it's right there in black and white that the god of Freemasonry is Lucifer. So, you know, if you're a lower level Mason and you feel that that's not true, let me tell you something. My dad was a freaking pilot for George Bush Sr., and I think I know what I'm talking about. Okay, go look up Moral and Dogma for yourself and look it up for yourself and just take it for what it is. And so, you know, I think that what my point is that we're clearly seeing that agenda, you know, coming to fruition today all across the globe. And, you know, a house that's divided will not stand. And ultimately, forgiveness and compassion and empathy, not only for those that we love and for those that we're at odds with, just in the traditional sense, it's not, you know, these evil, basically technocrats out there running everything today, they need to be extended this type of forgiveness as well, and it's very important. And I know, you know, that's a difficult thing to wrap your mind around, and I don't intend in any form or fashion to sound as a proponent for any of the things that they've, you know, implemented out there with this agenda that they clearly have to soft kill us and lead us to a slaughter. And I don't, you know, it doesn't need to be taken that way. Take me out of context there. But you know, what do we do with this stuff, guys? I mean, what is the answer is what we all, you know, it's raising awareness. It's having action behind our works and educating ourselves and ultimately understanding the power that we have as a human organism. And, you know, something that I would like to know and something that has to kind of do with another area of my research, which is very important, also has to do with some prophetic things that are written in the book of Revelation and the Bible. And I think that it's very important. It's very interesting, and there seems to be a very strong affirmation that this stuff is real. And how John of Patmos knew this stuff, you know, almost 2,000 years ago is utterly fascinating and something that needs to be reckoned with in anybody's worldview, okay? And to kind of put things in context, I'll start with a device that was the first quantifying data collection system on planet Earth, which was called the Hollerith machine, developed by IBM, ultimately, okay? And there has been many, many attempts to bring IBM in front of a war crimes tribunal for crimes against humanity because of the fact that they solicited this device to the Nazis in 1938, okay? And you may have never heard of it until now, and that's how good they are at sweeping this stuff under the rug. And please listen carefully and do your own research about this, because this is a historical fact in the world in which you live, and it affects each and every person who will ever hear this broadcast, okay?
The Nazis had great business ties with America. I mean, the Luftwaffe, the Air Force, couldn't get off the ground without U.S. Standard Oil patented technologies.
That's right.
Coca-Cola was banned from trading with them under the Trading with the Enemy Act, so they created Fanta, the Nazi drink. And IBM sold them all the punch card systems so that they could orderly, easily catalog and chronicle all the slave Jews that they had.
That's right. And that device was known as the Hollow Earth Machine. It was solicited to the Nazis, and it did exponentially increase the rate in which they could catalog, identify, and thus decimate the Jews to the tune of over 6 million people who basically sat there and waited for a knock on their door, okay? And that current type of technology and agenda has been refined to the present day. And, you know, there's a subsidiary of IBM known as Verichip, which has already has FDA approval and one of the commercials is actually for release in Australia down there, in the land down under, in which, you know, there's a guy running through a store, and the music's blaring, and it looks like he's shoplifting stuff. That's the impression that they're trying to give you, because he's just running through the store, grabbing stuff, putting it in his coat, concealing it, and he just runs through the checkout line. The music stops. There's a security guard there who had been watching him throughout the entire, you know, the video, and everything stops, and the security guard goes, "Hey! You know, did you forget something?" And he just simply hands him a receipt, and that's because there's a chip in him which is coupled with the system known as the World Wide Web. And let me try to put this stuff into context for you, okay? In Revelation chapter 13, there's what we call the mark of the beast. And no man shall buy, sell, or trade without the mark of the beast. With he who has wisdom, calculate the number of the beast. It's the number of a man. This number is 666. Okay? Every time we swipe a card at the store today, okay, it's ultimately validated by one network, which was created by DARPA. That's the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, in which I've had dealings with basically my entire life. Okay? And that system is the World Wide Web. Okay? See, the word mark in Greek, in which what these scriptures were written in, means two things. It means to etch or prick into the skin and a badge of servitude, okay? Now, picture this little chip. They're going to couple it with this system known as the World Wide Web. Let me tell you what the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is, okay? It's VAH, or W in English, which therefore means that WWW has a numeric value of 666. No man shall buy, sell, or trade without the mark of the beast, which will be coupled with this. You know, the chip will be coupled with this system, the one world system, in which in the future, the sole conduit for the transmission of this system will be what is called fiber optics, okay? And fiber optic technology, if you do the research, and certainly people like Whitley Strieber and lots of people out there would agree that fiber optic technology came from a particular species of gray alien, Okay, we grew by leaps and bounds with this technology. And again, you know, I have a tendency to upload, you know, sensitive documents from DARPA and other military, you know, websites and official, you know, university websites to my Facebook page. Well over 1,000 of them have been uploaded to my page to the present day. And one of the things that anybody can go look up, you know, type in DARPA and CAPS, that's D-A-R-P-A, in a Google search engine, and then put fiber optics and then put a .mil after it and see what you get. Maybe type in an AT&T or any telecom company in there, and you'll find that that really will be the sole conduit for all transmissions in the future, which will be coupled with the chip that they're going to try to put into you, okay? And the reason that that's relevant, okay, is because in Revelation chapter 15, there's the seven angels with the seven deadly plagues, and then there's the group of people that have victory over the name, the number, and the image of the beast, and they stand atop a sea of glass mingled with fire, okay? And my personal perspective is that's exactly what we're doing here today, because the sea of glass mingled with fire, in which those victory, the group of, that has victory over these things is standing atop on, is fiber optics. A fiber optic cable is basically a glass tube with a laser that goes through it at the speed of light, in which it glows like it's on fire, okay? That, and how John of Patmos would have tried to make that relevant and put things into context, given what he knew all those years ago, and to try to convey that message into the present, is illustrated in the Revelation chapter 15. And how that was known is fascinating, okay? And so the worshiping the image of the beast is, you know, having the creative ability that you possess seeded with negativity in order to manifest materialism, narcissism, the negative aspects of greed, lust, and all the deadly sins that are out there. And that's how we worship the image of the beast, is using our creative ability to manifest things into this reality, as our abilities in that area are heightened in this current and present age in which we're in. You know, we've just reached an extremity of what's known as the Great Year amongst astronomers, which is the cycle that the Earth's axis is shifting 1 degree every 72 years, and it changes our relative viewpoints to the heavens. And this was known by the ancients as far back as Egypt, which is also illustrated in the Old Testament, in that, you know, Moses was privy to this knowledge because he grew up in a pharaonic priesthood in the, you know, in Egypt, as the story of Moses goes, and he wrote the word Ram, which is the age in which those books that he wrote was written. He wrote those books in the age of the Ram. He put the word shofar in the Old Testament 72 times, as anybody who would be able to decipher that later on, given this knowledge, would be able to ascertain. And we're just now being able to understand the processional cycle in and of itself. It's a cycle of time which takes 25,920 years, okay? And then, you know, we just reached one extremity of that cycle on the shortest day of last year. It's got the planets out of whack. It's, you know, and it's my contention that the, you know, Herculanus and the Bureau or Planet X, whatever you call it, the cycle of these extra planets, you know, the planets that are out of our solar system that come in on a recurring cycle are actually the catalyst that creates this perceptional cycle in and of itself. Mathematically, it all lines up there. As it comes in, it makes our planet look like a wobble back and forth. There's a few other variables there with gravity and everything. But, you know, the most important thing that I would really try to say for any human being to understand is to understand what happens when you're dreaming. And we'll pick up there. It's very important.
All right. Well, when we come back from break, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about what happens when you're dreaming, I guess. So hopefully you won't fall asleep during the ad break. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's our final segment here with Eugene Irvin, and he wants to tell you a little bit about something that happens while you dream. Eugene, take it away.
Thank you. You know, what's happening when you're dreaming can be thought of as, you know, your soul in another dimension. Any of us that have ever had a really lucid dream, I mean, what is that? Scientifically, that is when your pineal gland is active and in full use, or at least in a heightened state of use. And, you know, this is something that's been understood by the ancients all the way to the present day, and something that's heavily controlled today. You know, the Western diet in particular, fried food, refined sugar, bleached stuff, all this kind of thing, really has a tendency to calcify the pineal gland. Fluoride also does that, obviously, and it inhibits the function of the pineal gland. And it's hard to wrap your mind around the fact that you have what could be, you know, thought of as an interdimensional access point in your body. I can assure you that you do. And, you know, this is something that allows you to traverse through time and basically, you know, when you close your eyes, an electromagnetic field is generated around the pineal gland, and the darker the better, okay? And what this does is it makes you unaware of the reference point that you're in space-time, and allows a loving energy to be able to come into it and then be facilitated out of it through the eyes. The pineal gland is, for all practical purposes, an eye without the retina. The cellular structure is basically identical, and for all practical purposes can be thought of as a projector in your head that comes out through your eyes. You know, the work of David Wilcock is fascinating in this area, and I like to reference it because he's done such a good job here. Going back through the historical references of what the pineal gland has been represented, you know, the pineal gland is called such because it looks like a pine cone. It's one of the smallest glands in your body. However, it has more blood flow per cubic volume than any other gland in the body, okay? And it contains a substance known as dimethyltryptamine, which is piezochromatic, and it's the most potent hallucinogen on Earth. And piezochromatism is fascinating in and of itself in that, you know, it has the ability to create things through light, okay? And so when you close your eyes and this pineal gland is rearing up and becoming active, that loving energy comes into it, and then you facilitate it out of that. The scriptural evidence for this is found in the Old Testament, and this is my work here. I've never heard this, you know, I've never seen anybody really make this connection to this, and I think that the only reason that's noteworthy is because it's clear, you know, it's proof that this was known of in ancient times, and that's in, Psalms 27, if I'm not mistaken, says, lift up ye heads, O ye glorious gates, to the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in, okay? And, you know, you can hear that song by Gregorian monks, and a song by Enigma, actually, called Sadness, which I've just put up on my Facebook page. I invite anybody to join me there, regardless of when you hear this broadcast. My name is Eugene Sonny Irvin, and I'll welcome you there. You know, we have a website that's currently under development and a new radio show that's coming out, which will be called A Call to Action. And there'll be a place to donate there and all this other stuff to get this kind of work done. And any contribution comes with a lifetime guarantee that we'll help somebody else out when they need it, and that includes yourself. But with the pioneer look, David Wilcock's work would say that, you know, he calls it the source field, which is basically the source of all, you know, organic matter, inanimate matter, basically everything. And it's a loving energy that encompasses all things. And in Matthew 6:22, Jesus says, if thine eye be single, then thy whole body be full of light. It says that the eye, singular, is the lamp of the body. And if thine eye be single, then thy whole body be full of light. And this is a manifestive gland in the body, which we are not utilizing to even a fraction of the full potential in which we were meant to. And it is your access point to the many mansions in the Father's house in which Jesus is basically, you know, referencing in that scripture. Okay, so there is an innumerable amount of potentialities going on around us. And we have the ability individually and through the process of entanglement of consciousness to collectively resonate into these different houses and thus, you know, live out the potentiality in which we have entered into. And so it's so important to stay positive and to resonate that higher frequency, and that's what we're dealing with here. When we're dreaming, we are in another place that is tangible to us. If we've ever had a lucid dream, you know, maybe we're flying. We're able to pick and choose what we're doing. You know, we can do that in a conscious waking state to a much higher degree than what we're doing. And we're doing it from a subconscious perspective today. And the reason that I say it's the most important thing for us to realize is because that's where these entities attack us and control us from on the most fundamental, basic level of our waking reality every day. And so if we can step back and get into a pot, you know, and you need to be able to understand where your protection comes from here and understand that, you know, I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. From somebody who's executed a black op that has literally saved millions of lives in his life, take it or leave it. You know, I've got videographic proof of it, you know, and if you don't believe it, I'm sorry for that. And if it sounds outlandish, I'll apologize to you. Take it from somebody who has done those things, that the only thing that has ever saved me through that has been to pray. And what does the name of Jesus Christ mean? It means love to me, and it's a higher vibratory frequency in which we can resonate with an open heart. And how do we, you know, see a fulfillment of heaven on earth is to embrace, you know, I'm sorry for an orthodox, you know, mindset out there that might think this is blasphemous. There is clearly a feminine aspect to Scripture or any other type of teaching out there that's mainstream. The feminine aspect of this stuff is very important, and it's we all possess masculine and feminine energies within ourselves and in our soul. And excuse me, my Father in heaven, whose image I'm created of him, doesn't want a wife. You know, I'm created with fellowship with God, for God, and my highest aspiration in life is to have a loving woman and a family to which I can glorify God. Excuse me, God's going to want that too, and I believe that, and I just say that I know it as a truth. And so to be able to embrace that idea is not a blasphemous thing for me to say here today. And in fact, it's completely underrated. It needs to be, you know, understood to a higher degree. And there's clearly been a suppression of that. And, I think that Laura Magdalene Eisenhower has been tried and true in this whole ordeal. And I'd like to go on public record and say that, though she hasn't endorsed my research publicly, she hasn't, you know, gone on record as being involved in any of this. And I don't want to overstep my boundaries here. She is the only one left out of these guys that hasn't clearly tried to withhold information as far as this exopolitical university. Alfred Lambert Weber plays a role in this. He has clearly attempted to hold up information that should be disseminated to the public about stuff on Mars, quantum access technologies, mind control, etc. He's made personal attacks on my character. And you know what? All I can say is God bless you, man, and wake up. I don't know if you're under mind control or whatever. I'm MK Ultra, and I'm out here, and I'm, you know, being mind controlled. Why in the hell am I trying to get these devices known to cause health hazards off school property? Why, you know, and it doesn't make any sense. And so, you can see it, on my Facebook page. You know, I sent the coordinates. Andy wouldn't respond to the fact that I wanted to get these coordinates, these lakes of liquid water out on Mars. And I tell Alfred about this, and the message, in which you can see the picture of it that I took with a screenshot off my phone, in which he thanks me and sends me a little winking, smiling face like, oh, yeah, go ahead. I'm thanking you for trying to release these coordinates to the lakes of liquid water on Mars and inserting them without the permission of my, you know, number one partner, Andrew Bishago. He thanks me for doing that and then tries to cover up the fact that he did it and hasn't done a thing or lifted a finger to release this information when he's the founder of exopolitics. He's one of the founders of the very discipline itself. That is an outrage. The fact that, you know, this information was clearly attempted to be withheld from the public in regards to the interview that was on late nights in the middle of this is an outrage. The public has a right to know about this stuff, and any time that the, you know, a figure of the prominence and the distinguished character that these guys portray themselves to be makes a clear attempt to withhold information from the public, somebody has to stand up and say something about it. And it's not a personal attack. It's just a simple truth of the matter. And so I'm very happy and pleased to be able to say that today, and I would encourage anybody to do their own research. I have videographic proof and proof in text of the fact that this has actually occurred. The host, Michael Vail, would vouch for the fact that it's occurred.
as far as that, you know, the attempting to get the interview removed. And, you know, when you're in the truth movement and you're leading a, quote, truth campaign, you have no business doing anything like that, okay? And so the whole world needs to be made aware about that, and these guys need to be held accountable for that kind of stuff, and I make no apologies to it for it. And so I appreciate the platform in which to be able to do that today. And, you know, if there's any questions out there from anybody, you know, I guess we're not going to take any calls. Please hit me up. The website that we have is currently under development. There's a couple of different ones out there. You know, hit me up on my Facebook page. Check out the archives of the show. Whatever you have to do, I will be here regardless of time or circumstance. For anybody who would like to be able to help further the agenda of basically raising awareness about this set of issues, and, you know, you're listening to a man who released free energy and a propulsion system on his Facebook page for free, and doesn't even have a computer or a webcam to go and get on video sketch to do this freaking broadcast. And so, you know, if you guys want to help, we're not ashamed to ask for it. And it does come with that lifetime guarantee that we will help somebody else, and that includes yourself. So thank you very much.
Gene, and also, I wanted to mention there about, you know, the name of Jesus and so on and so forth. Did you know that if you bless food or say nice things to water, it actually changes the structure of it to really beautiful geometric patterns?
Oh, thank you, the Emoto experiments. That's right. We have the ability to change things with our thought, our focus, our belief, and our intent. It's the fundamental element of our waking existence. And it ultimately is an alchemical process of transmutation in which we are all capable of doing, and we all need to understand and release any negative connotation in which we have attached to that fact due to an indoctrinated bias that we have accumulated through basically a bunch of Luciferian freaks trying to push it upon us.
We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening.